hope that the weather hadn't scared us too bad, and I'm glad that it did miss us, but let's pray for those that, who it has affected, because I understand there's some bad weather in a lot of places, but the Lord can watch over everyone through the storm, and I'm glad that he can be here and he can be there at the same time. But welcome, everybody, and if you're visiting, why, you are our welcome guest, and we want you to take part in the service. So let's begin by grabbing the yellow book, as we call it affectionately, and turn to number 240, When We All Get to Heaven. 240. Love that song. There's an old song that asked the question, I wonder what they're doing in heaven today, Brother Stewart, and I think of that from time to time. Wow, imagine they're looking at the face of God and singing his praises, thanking him for saving their soul. That's what I want to do. Turn back a few pages, and my mind's on heaven this morning, y'all. You'll find that out by the songs we sing. 193, 100. 93.
appreciate you playing for us again today. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see everybody out today. Talking about the weather, I did not know if we'd get to see this many faces here today. And so I am thankful that you have made an effort in coming out to serve the Lord today. And I hope that you will even go farther than just coming out to church today. Our Sunday school lesson today was a lot about following the Lord, being willing to follow the Lord, and doing what God impresses you to do. And that has always been one of my emphases. I want everybody to follow the Lord. And whether it be something simple or something big, as some people would call it, I want you to follow the Lord. Sometimes it may be something simple as just going to somebody and just patting them on the shoulder. You know that? Or even just hugging them, you know. Or just shaking hands with them. When the Lord leads you, it's important to follow Him. So that's one of the emphases that I want to put upon this morning's service. I want everybody to follow the Lord today in this service. It's good to see everybody out. I'm glad we don't have any ice, no snow. Although I have heard some talk about, I thought I'd see snow this morning. I like to see one good snow a year. You've heard me say that. One good snow a year, and that's all I want to see. That's enough. But I don't want to see it on Sunday or Wednesday or whenever we're meeting. Otherwise, I know y'all have to travel in it, and I do too, but that's one's plenty. I'm one of these, as long as it's everywhere but on the roads, that's good. But we can't pick, can we? We can't control weather. We can't control whatever God knows best for us. And so that's the best thing we can do. It is truly a privilege to see each and every one out today. We are glad that you have made your effort in coming out to serve the Lord today. We appreciate everybody being here is what I want to say. We always do our children's church. Brother Sam has been talking about a picture that's up here for our visitors. We have our children to come up, and we do just a little bit of church time just for the kids. And Brother Sam takes care of that for us today. And so, Brother Sam, all the kids, come on up.
Let's go. Let's go. All right. Am I doing good? You ready for big snow? No comment? Do you like the snow, Ben? You don't know? You take it or leave it, right? Well, I didn't either. Are you disappointed? I am too. Why? Because if it snows, then school's out, right? How many of you go to school tomorrow? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to laugh at you. That's okay. That's real good. I mean, that means that you don't get to sleep in tomorrow, do you?
I go to school at 2 days.
2 days? That's good. You know, that means you've, one of these days you'll be working and school may be out, but you'll have to go to work.
You're looking forward to that, aren't you?
Boy, y'all are a dead crowd this morning. Good, though. You know, we're getting down to the end of stuff to talk about this picture right here, right? You know, there's been a lot of good things that we got labeled up here. We've got the ground and the plow and the seed and the sower and the oxen and the yoke and, you know, the plow. And last week we talked about the master's voice and how he guides them. But today we're talking about the plowman, the master. Guess who's in charge in that operation? Who's in charge? The guy driving the plow, ain't he? He sure is. He's directing traffic. He is like the policeman standing at the intersection telling everybody to go here and there and stop. He's the man. Let there be no doubt. He's in control. He knows how to plant, where to plant, how fast to plow, how deep to plow. He's telling the young man where to put the seeds, how far apart, how deep, and so forth. And he knows what's needed. And he's speaking to the oxen there. He don't have to drive them with reins or anything, but he lets them know. Once in a while, he'll give them a nudge, that prod right there, but for the most part, when they hear his voice, they know what to do. Whose church is this? God's church. Who knows what's needed? in this church. God does. How does he let us know what's needed? How do the oxen know what he wants them to do? He speaks to them. And that's the way it is. And I'm looking forward to hearing the sermon today because I believe that Brother Ricky has been directed by God to give us something. And without that, you know, we wouldn't know what to do. So we're glad that this man has been in charge of this operation, and when they're not successful, they've done all they need to do. When we do what the Lord wants us to do, then we'll be blessed, people will be saved, and there won't nobody leave here that's lost. And that's the thing that we need to hope for, that the Lord will continue to bless, that we'll continue the lesson.
Because you know why? He's still calling preachers.
He's still directing preachers. He's still sending people in our lives that, you know, that can help us, that can soothe us, that can comfort us, that can promote us, that can help us. And without this guy being in charge, none of this would happen. Without him directing traffic and knowing what to do, they wouldn't know what to do. And without God being in charge here, then we're just meeting from time to time. If we just come because we want to, then our efforts are few. Unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. So that's our message on that right there. And so I want to leave you with this thought that all these people that are working here, they have to trust that guy. They have to trust that he knows what to do. And that's what we have to do. And that comes from Proverbs 3 and 5. Would you stand? And let's understand that. Let's commit this. This will be on the test next week. I want you to memorize it, and you're each going to say it out loud, one at a time. I bet you could do it. I bet you could do it. I'm just kidding. Proverbs 3 and 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. Thank you. You've been a good class today.
Good job, kids. Brother Sam has been talking about this picture that his father made while he was missionary in Mexico. And if you haven't taken a look at this picture, I know he's got little sticky notes at different places there. Take time, take a look at it, and see the different lessons that you can even pick out that Brother Sam has not talked about. I was looking at then, he was telling me he was just about done with this. He would be done with this month. But I was looking at it, and I thought, I wonder if he's going to talk about that this morning. So with that being said, take a look at the picture, take time and look at it, and see if you can find a lesson for us out of that picture is what we need to do. So kind of keep that in mind. It's good to see everybody out again. We want to go to the Lord in prayer here in just a few minutes. Does anybody have a prayer request upon your heart before we go to the Lord in prayer? Sister Barbara Hibden messaged me this morning. She did last week also. She was sick, and she wasn't able to come. She's still sick. Brother Lanny is still sick. Good to see Sister Carla back. I don't think she's all the way well, but I'm glad she's back. There's others in the church in the same shape. We've all had this whatever that's going around, but we're glad that you're here today. But let's be prayerful one for another that we can all get well, if nothing else. But let's all follow the Lord in this service. Anybody else got a prayer request? Let's be prayerful one for another, as I said, and make sure that you pray for me today and that I'll preach what the Lord would have us to preach today in this service. We'll call on one to start our prayer, but we want everybody to pray this morning. Brother James, would you do the privilege of leading us in this prayer? Everybody pray in your own way, please.
Appreciate that. Continue our song service. Turn over to 180. 180. What a day that will be.
There is time.
Sounding good. All right. This got to get a little bit more up-tempo here. Turn over to 218, one of Mr. Albert Brumley's more popular songs, I'll Fly Away.
Everybody follow along.
Thank you.
I have to sing a couple verses of 115. 115. Bless y'all.
Amen. Appreciate the good singing this morning. Everybody done a really good job. Want everybody to follow the Lord. Anybody else got a word of testimony or anything on your heart this morning? We want everybody to follow the Lord. Whatever he puts upon your heart, you do that, please. As I've said many times, you hinder the service of the Lord if you do not do what he puts upon your heart. And that's what I want you to do, is just follow the Lord. So anybody got anything on your heart? Appreciate this good testimony. Let's do remember all these prayer requests, too. One of the things keeps coming to mind about our young people, let's pray there is a love for church, for God, comes up in their hearts. You know, that kind of love, and I'll use you for example, that even though you're hundreds of miles away from the church you got saved in, you want to find something that's right. That's what we need to pray for our children to have, that kind of love. Not just, well, it's church, I don't want to go today. Love to go. Love to be where God's people are. Somebody else got a word on your heart. Don't let me hinder you from talking about what God's done for you. Anybody? If you do not have anything else on your heart, and if you're not choking it down, turn to the book of Jude. Go ahead. Yeah. bless her. Bless her. Let's do remember Morgan in our prayers. Somebody else. Somebody else. I love it when the Spirit moves like this, but it always seems like it's going to be a sermon like this that it hits on, that I've got to follow it with. And it's kind of like when somebody testifies, you know, one of those most beautiful spiritual testimonies, and then you think, Lord, I can't top that. I can't do nothing like that. And I'm up here, and I've got to preach this kind of sermon. So be prayerful for me today that this message will do what it needs to do. We're going to take a reading lesson, as we said, from the book of Jude, and we'll take our thought from this book of Jude. Don't look for second or third chapters. There's only one chapter. And so we're going to start reading with verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend with faith which was once delivered unto you of the saints. And that faith is what Jesus preached and practiced while he was here on this earth, what he taught his apostles, his disciples. And when he left, he told them to go into all the world and teach and make disciples. And that's what we do. We've got that same doctrine. I want you to know that. So it's important for us to contend for the faith, right? Amen. Now continue reading. For there are certain men crept in unaware who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men turning the grace of God into lavishness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believed not. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in the like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, excuse me, and going after strange flesh, and set forth an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despising dominion, and speak evil of dignities. And that's a reading lesson. That's reading verses 3 through verse 8 today for our reading lesson. We're going to basically stay a lot with this chapter or this book of the Bible today. As I said, this is not one of my favorite kind of sermons. However, they need to be preached from time to time. I'm of the opinion we as God's people, we need to know what is sin. I think most of us really do know what is sin and what is not sin. There is a part of us, and I believe it's the inward spirit that is within us, that lets us know what is right and what is wrong. We used to say that when a child was young, they didn't know their left hand from the right. They didn't know what was right. They didn't know what was wrong. But there comes a time that they get to knowing that. Did you notice in these verses that I read here today, that what he said that they were aware of certain things? I think we're all aware of sin, right? Now, not too long ago, I saw a survey, and basically they were questioning people as to what was right and what was wrong. And actually, there were some things in there that kind of surprised me, as the majority of the people looked at things, and they thought, yeah, it's wrong, but it's okay for me, is basically what they did. I want you to know what the Word of God says. I'm going to cover about four different sins today that's in this lesson here. And we're going to talk about sins that are harmful to the church and to the saved individuals. We're going to talk about four different sins. And I'm going to the fourth verse for a starter. And the fourth verse says, "And there are certain men crept in unaware who were before of old ordained to this condemnation." Now, this ordained to this condemnation does not mean that God had predestined them to be condemned for this act. The act of what was actually ordained was the very fact that those that would do these things, they would be condemned. God was not going to have mercy on them because that he had done it before. Now, read along with us. He says, "Ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lavishness and denying the only Lord God, our Lord Jesus." Now, the first sin that we are talking about is people that are saved individuals who actually end up being ungodly people. Is that possible today? Not many months ago, I preached to you about a doctrine of the Nicolaitans. And in that doctrine of the Nicolaitans, and the best that I can understand what it actually means is, it is a doctrine in which that people that are saved, and basically like us, believe once saved, always saved, and then turn around and say, "Well, because I can't lose my salvation, I can live any way I want to." That's the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. And if you'll turn over into the third chapter of Revelation, the Bible says Jesus said, "I hate it." There's not many times that Jesus or God said, "I hate." But he said, "I hate that doctrine." And that's really what this is talking about today in this verse. In these verses today, he's talking about things that he does not like. He hates is what the scripture is telling us about this doctrine here. But he said, Jude is writing to them here in these verses that they... he said, "You know the common salvation that was delivered unto you, but there are those that are coming in." We have every day in our church those that do not believe the truth of God. I'm glad that they come into our house to worship with us, to try to worship if they're not saved, because I hope and pray that they learn the truth of God. But we have to beware of them, and that is what Jude is telling them. He said, because these people come in, and they are striving to turn the grace of God, in his words, into lavishness. Now, if you're wondering what lavishness is, and this is the definition that I looked up, it is the indulging of freedom to a great excess. When the individuals are saved by the grace of God, we have a freedom in our lives. We have a freedom that we don't worry about sin in our soul. We have a freedom in that we know that we are saved. We have a freedom that we know that we have a home on the other side. But the fact of the matter is, we are never to indulge in it, to think so much that, like the Nicolaitans, that we could just live any way that we please. There are those today in our presence today, and I'm going to say it's very likely that we have members on our church rolls that indulge in many freedoms in this life, like the Nicolaitans did, thinking that nothing can harm them. But we're going to look a little bit further into these sins. For the next verse, he said, "I will therefore put you in remembrance." He said, "I want you to remember these things. He said they were written for our example, is what the way Paul put it in the book of Corinthians. He said, I want to put these things to your remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards were destroyed them that believed not. Now, I want to call to your attention today that there was well over a million of the Israelite nation that left Egypt. Do you remember that? It doesn't give us an actual total, but if you add up the numbers that it gives up, there was over a million men that left Egypt in that day. But following Moses is what they did. And now you'll find this in the 13th and 14th chapter of the book of Numbers is where you'll find these verses. But today, I want us to look at these scriptures here as we go back into what was written in the book of Hebrews, if I can get my Bible to turn right, in the third chapter. I want you to take a few verses here from the third chapter of Hebrews, and how that it is written out here exactly what happened. Let me back up before I get started. You remember that the children of Israel were delivered out of Egypt. They went to Mount Horeb. They received the laws of God. They received the tabernacle. They received everything that they needed. And now God was directing them to the promised land. And as they got up to the promised land, they had been told the promised land was a land that flowed with milk and honey. God had told them that they really wouldn't even have to fight for it, that he would give them that land, is what he said. He said, I believe one place, if I'm remembering right, he said, I'll send the hornets in among them, and they'll leave it for you. But there came a day when they got ready to cross over into the promised land, and do you remember what happened? Well, they got up to the edge of the land, and they said, Moses, let's send some spies into the land and let's see what is over there. Well, Moses said, that's a good thing. We'll send 12 spies, one out of each tribe, and they'll go in and they'll spy out the land. They'll look it over. You remember what they came back? Oh, it's truly a beautiful land. The fruit that is there, it's great. There's plenty to eat. There's grass for our stock. It's a wonderful place, is what it says about them. But you remember what they turned around and said? Oh, we can't do it. They can't go on over because there's giants in that land. They're bigger than us. We won't be able to fight against their walled cities. But there was two men that went in to spy, Joshua and Caleb, and they said, if we'll rely on the Lord, he'll give it to us. Now, what the people did, they took those 10 men word over God. It wasn't about taking the word of Joshua and Caleb. They didn't believe God, did he? They didn't believe that God would give them that land. And you know what they wanted to do? They wanted to turn around and go back to Egypt. Oh, what did God say he was going to do? Let's go back to Hebrews, the third chapter, verse 16. And it says, for some, when they had heard him, provoked, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. I want you to notice this. All that came out of Egypt by Moses. They came out following Moses, not God. Now, did that mean that everybody that came out of Egypt was saved, or were they sinners? I'm of the opinion they were some of both. That's my opinion. From what I read in the scripture, there was some that were saved and some that were actually what we would say, unsaved sinners. But what was everybody else that was there. The ones that were saved were just like you and me. They were saved sinners. And what does a saved sinner mean? That means they were saved by the grace of God, and yet they were doubtful. You see what the children of Israel did when it says, but with whom he grieved 40 years, was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? Do you remember what the penalty was for them saying, we will not go in? God did allow the children of Israel to go in. But every man above a certain age, when they came out of Egypt, did not get to go into that land. Now what it says in the 18th verse, and to whom sware he that he should not enter in to his rest, but to them that believe not. Now, a lot of people get confused about this rest here. A lot of people wants to say that was that salvation of the soul. But the rest that God had promised the children of Israel was that they could go into that promised land. There would not be any war. They wouldn't have to fight. They could go in and then they could take the cities. They would take the fields. They would take everything that God had provided for them. And it was going to be a time of rest for that people. But because of their unbelief, it says 19th verse. So we see that they could not enter in because of their unbelief. Now the second sin that I'm talking about here today is how doubtful we are. I'm talking about saved individuals here today. How doubtful are we from time to time? Have you ever, you heard some of the testimonies today, and I don't think I was worthy, and we were not worthy of salvation. But the other part that I look at myself, and I'm sure you do too, there's times when evil thoughts come into our minds. There's times when we just fail to follow God. We talked a lot this morning about being willing to follow the Lord and do whatever he puts upon our hearts. But there are those times when the Lord is instructing us and wanting us to do the things that God would have us to do. And what do? We say, Lord, I can't do that. Lord, I can't speak to that individual. Lord, I can't get up and go a little ways to say certain things. But when we follow the Lord, I'm going to say the two that testified today will say the testimony that the Lord gave them an extra blessing that we didn't get that listened. You see, God gives that blessing, and when we have faith enough or belief enough, he will give us the blessing of going on. So where are we today as far as believing in God when he has promised us many wonderful things? I'm not talking about heaven. I'm not talking about eternal life. I'm talking about, what did Jesus say to the church? Lo, I be with you always, even unto the end of the world. Oh, he's promised us that as a church. I'm going to be with you. You know, we've been talking about different things since we paid the building off. What could we do with the money that we have been getting since that we could go ahead and serve God at a greater level? What can we do? You know what the first thing comes to my mind a lot of times? Oh, Lord, how can we do that? Or how can I do that? What is that? That's unbelief. You know what I have to do? Oh, Lord, help me to get right back. Help me to be more what you need me to be. Help me to be one that can believe in you more and more. And when you speak to my heart, I'll follow you and not men. That's important for us today, is to follow him. Oh, let's go back to Jude here just a minute here. Let's hit the third sin, because we're going to talk about something, because these are things that are remembrances, should be remembrances unto thee. It's because what he was telling them in these sins, God did not pardon them from that, even though they were saved, because first of all, they didn't have faith like they should, but he also wanted them to know that there was troublemakers there. But the next thing is, we think that others are holier than us, don't we? How many of you got somebody that you have in mind, well, that's a holy person, they're a godly person, and we kind of put them up on a pedestal, don't we? How many of us has watched one of them fall? Now, the example that Jude used was probably one of the highest ones there was. And what he says in the book of Jude, turn page, in the sixth verse, and he says, after he talked about the children of Israel, then he says, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains, under darkness, under judgment, of the great day. Now, the angels that fell. The Bible tells us in the 12th chapter of Revelations that there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels and the dragon and his angels. Now, we know that old dragon is the devil himself. And there was war in heaven according to that scripture there. But here is the reason why there was war in heaven. In the 14th chapter, I thought it was. Yeah, 14th chapter of the book of Isaiah. I turned the wrong place. 14th chapter of the book of Isaiah, you'll find this, and this is talking about Lucifer, is the way he said. And Isaiah writes, now how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? He said, how art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations. Do you know what Lucifer did, or who he was first? He was an angel of God. What did you talk about? The angels that left their first estate. Now, God did not create the devil evil. I want you to understand that today. He made himself evil is what he did. The devil, he said, why art thou fallen, or how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? How did he weaken the nations? Well, first of all, he got hold of Eve, and he beguiled her, is what the scripture said. And she ate of the fruit that God told her not to, and she gave to her husband, and her husband did eat, and their eyes were opened, and sin entered into the world according to the scriptures, right? Boy, he weakened the nations. He weakened all the people of the world, didn't he? We all suffer sin because of what he did. Now, verse 13, thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend up to heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend up above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. I want you to notice several words there that are identical. And it's a little one-letter word, I. What did Lucifer or the devil do that was sinful in the eyes of God? He ascended. He wanted to ascend. He thought he could be greater than anybody else. He thought he was better than all the other angels. And actually, he thought he was better than God. Do we ever have any trouble with pride? That was what Lucifer's sin really was. He got caught up in his own pride. The Bible tells us in some of the other scripture, he was the most beautiful angel of them all. He was marvelous in all of his ways. But he got caught up in his own pride. For us today, it is imperative for us to watch our pride. Do I get proud sometimes? Oh, yes, I do. I do. Those times I think, Lord, I've been doing this for you. Oh, that's when I'm fixing to get in trouble. It is. When I start thinking about what I did, I'm fixing to get myself in trouble. You see, the third sin here that we're talking about that is a danger to the church and a danger to every child of God is pride getting into the matter. Now, there's other instances in the Bible, and I'll call to your attention one quick one. I hadn't thought about bringing this in. But there was a day when David was in his house, and out of his own pride, he wanted to know just how many soldiers he had. You know what his commander-in-chief said? We've never known that before. I'm paraphrasing this. We've never known how many we had because God helped us. God helped us. But David insisted. He wanted to know how big his army was. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm always disappointed not to see these seats full. I am. Because I want to have the opportunity to bring God's word to each and every one that will listen. But it's not needful for me to know who's coming and who's not. Because God knew you were going to be here today. You know, I wondered as this thought came on me, well, Lord, who's this message for? For me. Maybe you can look at yourself. Maybe it's for you. But all of these sins are things that gets to us each and every day. These sins are things that are about us. It's easy for our people today to think of themselves, well, it doesn't matter which church or which doctrine I go to. It's all here in the book. It's just that I feel good about it. That's what those people were doing in verse 4. Maybe it's just the fact we get to where we think we are entitled. We talk about young people today feeling entitled. Do we ever feel entitled? That's what the children of Israel were doing, wasn't it? They thought, Satan thought that he ought to be entitled to be greater than anybody else. So what's the fourth sin? The fourth sin is found, I got to turn my page again. I hate it when I have two pages to go over in the Bible. The fourth sin is found in verse 7 and 8. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of an eternal fire. A lot of people wants to say, well, why did God destroy the Sodom and Gomorrah? For an example. That's what he says right here. What was their sin? It said they were going after strange flesh. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Right now, the statement I'm going to make, my mother would have flogged me afterwards. But these people were going men after men, women after women, and actually they were standing before animal creatures also. That's sin. It was the lust of their eyes that they were doing. Strange flesh. I want you to understand something. They had more sin than that too. But they had gotten so ungodly in this area, God looked down upon them and wanted to destroy them for their sin. Back up a second. Are we entitled not to get in trouble with God because we're saved? If we do something sinful, I'm not talking about just these sins. What about not following the Lord? What about not listening to him? What about letting our pride get in the way? What if we indulge in the lust of the world? Now, I'm going to give you a verse here in the book of Psalms. And you'll find this in the fourth chapter and the fourth verse. And I'm going to go give you a partial verse here. But it says, stand in awe. You can go back and read it later. And sin not. A verse that I quote very regularly. I'll get it out right here in just a second. A verse that I quote very regularly is this. God said, I am holy, be ye holy. What is holy? Sinless? No. What is holy? God is sinless. I do want you to understand that. We, as long as we're in this flesh, we're probably not going to be sinless, but we need to abstain from all appearance of evil, is the way that Paul put it. I believe it's in the book of Timothy. Abstain from the appearance of evil. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. How many of you is on Facebook? How many of you have seen a person that you thought was a church member, saved church member, maybe even stood up in church and testified, and they had a little cup or a glass. I saw one other day, had a glass and said, hey, that's an appearance of evil. Oh, wait a minute. It's not okay to have that appearance? Nobody saw that. Are you sure? I did. What about somebody else? What about one of your friends that you told them you were saved? You've heard me tell the story one time before I told my calling to preaching. I had a very bad language at that time. I was running from the Lord. But what I did was, there was a comment made, and I blurted out some words that were definitely ungodly. And there was a young man looked at me, and he said, I thought you was a Christian. And I've told you before, I went from this high to about that high. He heard. There was other people who heard. He put me in my place. I didn't listen long. Not long enough. You see, these people were indulging in sins. It wasn't just the strange flesh that Sodom and Gomorrah had. They were serving other gods. What other gods? Well, they had names for them back then. Do we have other gods today? Anybody got a television? Sometimes that's our God. Truthfully, that's mine. It's one of my gods that I need to put away from time to time. Sometimes it's a ball game. You know, sometimes I just have to turn it off. Oh, that's an easy one, isn't it? What about turning off sin? Sodom and Gomorrah had gotten to the place they couldn't turn it off. I don't preach these things to you today to bring you down, but that you might know to turn it off. Turn it off. So that you can be the light that you are supposed to be. Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. He said, I am the light, but he told his disciples, you are the light of the world. Now, what if that light is tarnished? What if you've turned that light down? Anybody got a dimmer switch in your house? You know that bright light, you turn it down, you want a certain light there. That's how we live our lives most of the time, isn't it? These sins that I brought up to you today, I want you to take a good long look at yourself. I have. And I want us to put away. Let's turn it off. Is it possible? Jesus said, with me, with God, all things are possible. That's why we need to look to Him for our strength. Brother Sam, come ahead. I want you to think on these sins that I've talked about. There's a lot more that I could have preached about today, but these were the four that the Lord laid on my heart today. And I want you to think about these sins. And if you have some of these sins, let me back up just for a second. For some of our young people, I talked about the strange flesh being men with men, women with women, and others. The Bible tells us it's supposed to only be within marriage. Within marriage. I want to commend our young people. Or I want to recommend, maybe that's what I should say, recommend to you, abstain from these sins. I don't care what your friends are saying. I don't care what that boy or that girl is saying. You need to abstain from those sins. And you will be blessed of God greatly. While we stand and sing.
275. 275.